Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
You only get them on Friday mornings. Time to talk music news with our music guy, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
No, you're not all right. We're just talking about how you're ill.
I wouldn't say I'm getting over being ill. How's that?
Is flu season over?
Flu season's over. Now we're into whatever the spring season brings. You know, we complain about winter and how spring's not coming. And then spring comes and every allergen and pollen and whatever hits the air and you get sick.
So sure.
I want winter back.
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Not really.
This too will pass.
I think a couple of days of 70-degree weather and everything's just going to explode green grass. And
it's happening here. I look out my window and I've got some flowers popping out.
Really?
I have cousins in Michigan who are posting pictures of them cutting the grass for the first time.
Wow.
And they're not that far from you, Gary.
No, I know. It's getting there.
All right. Well, here's the story and it's top of your list this morning, so I'll just start there. Lindsey Buckingham was fired by Fleetwood Mac, now they're saying,
it
right?
It sounds like it. They announced the tour this week with October 22nd at the new Wisconsin Sports and Entertainment Center. Have you guys come up with a nickname for that yet?
There's been no naming rights
like
yet.
The Wisco or something?
Well, no. You know, there'll be a real name and then the nickname.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, are they calling it the Wisco or the Whisper? Or, you know, something like that. Anyway, they'll be playing October 28th there. And they gave an interview to Rolling Stone about it, where they do everything but say that Lindsey was fired, and I'm sure that's for legal reasons. But basically, what they say happened was Fleetwood Mac had carved out 2018 to tour, and which is true. I mean, when I spoke with Lindsey Buckingham last year when he was touring with Christine McVie, even he was saying 2018 will be on the road. Well, something happened where Lindsey did not want a tour in the time frame that the band says was agreed upon, and he was pitching a tour for late 2019. This was unacceptable to the other four members, so they decided to go on without him, which, again, like I say, stops just short of saying they fired him. They just said, well, we're going to do the 2018 tour without Lindsey. That doesn't mean they couldn't tour in 2019 with Lindsey. So, you know, they're being very careful about how they phrase everything. But the bottom line, you know, they certainly sound very unhappy with him. They sound like they were surprised that it went this way, you know, that it didn't go according to plan. So I guess they secretly got together with Neil Finn and Mike Campbell earlier this year, and they said the rehearsal went very well, and they were very happy with it, and they're going to spend 2 months rehearsing for this upcoming tour that they'll be doing, and they're promising, too, that the material will not be limited to just the Buckingham Nicks version of the band, which is 1975 to present, but they'll dip back into earlier material from the Peter Green era.
I would not be interested in spending money on
ticket. I was just going to say, I don't know who they think that's going to appeal to. Okay, so you're not going to hear, you might not hear Trouble, you might not hear Big Love, but you will hear the Green Manalishi. I don't know that that brings more people to the table.
Nah, probably not.
Now me, you know, somebody like me, I'm digging
you're
that.
The exception to the rule.
I'd like to hear Lindsey do those songs. I'm not sure I buy into Neil Finn singing the blues rock Fleetwood Mac.
Here's another thing it's 100% of the time a disappointment. Prince, they're talking about releasing some unreleased Prince material. Well, it was unreleased for a reason.
Yes, and well, with him, it's a little bit of a different story. You know, this is an album they're talking about coming out this fall, probably September. His vaults are, this guy made music like, you know, we scratch our noses.
Well, he didn't have to go anywhere. It was right in his house, right? I mean, the whole big complex.
Right, but he was just one of these guys who would write, record. And as somebody who owns a lot of bootleg recordings of this unreleased material, I can tell you there's a lot of good stuff in
the
vault.
So this might be the exception. Because a lot of times somebody passes away and they go, well, this is what they were working on. Right. And they released it, and it's like, yeah, it sucks. They were still working on it.
So do they take that stuff? If he's got, like, one vocal track down, do they, I don't know, fill in the blanks?
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between what they're doing is they're going to take finished songs from the vault. not say, okay, this is what he was working on, and it was half finished. These are songs he actually finished and didn't release because he's Prince and he's okay. Nick, and he wrote and recorded way more than anybody was willing to release. So I think at least the initial releases from Prince Vaults have a chance of being really, really good. Now, as we get into, I don't know, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th, 20th, however many they're going to do, you know, you might wind up scraping a little. But I think we can be optimistic about these initial releases.
All right. Let's make sure we're up to date on Taylor Swift Stalkers, because right after we talked last week, there was another guy.
Yeah, there was one in New York this past week who actually, he kind of broke in to her townhouse there and took a nap. The guy's name was Roger Alvarado, and after the alarms went off, they went and found him sleeping and, you know, taking a nap on the couch in her place in the Tribeca neighborhood of New York. He's from Florida. He was arrested on charges of stalking, burglary, criminal mischief, and trespassing. And apparently he was arrested at the same address on February 14th for trying to break in the front door with a shovel.
Okay.
So I think this guy is going to spend some time taking a nap in a more controlled environment.
They have that 5150 thing in California. New York have a similar law where they can just observe you forever?
They might. I'm not well versed in New York criminal law, but they might.
All right. Here's something I won't believe until, and I don't know when I'll believe it, because I think it's always a chance it'll happen again. Skinner announces their last concert.
Their last concert till their next last concert.
Okay. That's fair enough.
And it's going to take place September 2nd in Jacksonville, Florida, of course, which is the band's hometown. Jason Aldean and Kid Rock will also play on the show, and more. I guess it's going to be a big festival type of thing. It's Skinner's first concert at that stadium, Everbank Field, since 2015, and they say this is it. They say the summer's the last tour. But it was interesting when I got Gary Rossington on the phone shortly after they made the announcement earlier this year, and he was already hemming and hawing about whether it was
moments
the last
after
tour or not.
Who
knows? But you know, he's the guy who, I mean, he's been in such poor health. You know, he's the guy who should be coming off the road.
He's it, right?
He's the last founding member, and then they have to face the tough question of, okay, at whatever point he's not going to be performing anymore, can you still do Skinner? I mean, you know, Johnny Van Zant's been leading the band since 1987. Is that enough time to say, okay, the band can go on? You know, will we accept Lynyrd Skynyrd like we accept the Platters, you know, or the Dramatics, or, you know, or increasingly the Temptations and the Four Tops?
I think what they're going to have to do if Gary Rossington does decide to stay home and not tour is they're going to have to post the deed to the band to show that they are truly Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Give everyone a band badge
or something like that. It's a very interesting type of issue, because I think, you know, frankly, I think Skynyrd fans would go see Skynyrd without Gary Rossington, as long as they're hearing Freebird played well by guys who have been in the band a long time. I don't think it makes a great deal of difference to people.
Can they do the Avatar thing like ABBA is going to do? Explain how that works.
Excuse me, these aren't Avatars, they're Avatars.
Oh, Avatars, okay. Of course.
So basically, there's a tribute TV special being done in Sweden. And they, of course, wanted the four members of ABBA to appear together, which they're not going to do, but they've agreed to let Avatars, or as they're calling them, Avatars, be part of the show and, I guess, perform. You know, somebody's going to sit at a computer and program these Avatars of ABBA, and they'll sing some ABBA songs as part of this TV show.
Okay, so they're not look-alike stand-ins. These are computer-generated
images from the real thing.
Okay.
So is it footage from old concerts, or is it actually like a computer generating them?
Computer-generated
images of the current ABBA. You know, they can take.
Gary, this is a slippery slope, because if they can do this, no band ever has to stop touring.
It's exactly.
Ever. You just go see their Avatar.
We could have the Beatles back.
Oh, no, that'd be too weird. I don't want to.
No, I don't think they'd ever agree to that.
I don't know that I want to
see. Well, how many other Swedish tribute television shows have set the world on fire?
Well, that's it. But, you know, so we'll see. This will get passed around on social media. We'll all chuckle about it.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to see what that'll look like.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. And we mentioned Eddie the Eagle earlier today.
Yeah, we thought we had Eddie proofed the Olympics, but there was a chick who got in because she had enough money and she went to enough trials, whatever. But now Eddie's back in music news.
Well, the actor who played Eddie, Taron Egerton has you know, he's in the Eddie the Eagle movie. He has signed on to play Elton John in the biopic Rocket Man.
Is Hugh Jackman, who was in Eddie the Eagle, is Hugh Jackman going to play Bernie Taupin?
They haven't said that yet. They haven't said yet.
You know, guys are in a movie together every time.
Right.
Egerton's also been part of the Kingsman movies, which are pretty good. So, he's a real actor, you know, but he's going to be Elton.
Well, that's quite a, you know, that's right up there with Tom Hanks, you know, playing real characters and of different stripes, too. Elton John and Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah, I mean, there actually is a little bit of symmetry there, I think. So that could be good fun.
All right, where do we wrap up today? And finally,
let's see. It was announced. I mean, we should observe. 37 years ago today, Paul McCartney announced he was disbanding Wings. You know, they formed the group in 1971, so 10 years prior. And when you think about that, in a decade, they actually did a lot of work, you know, under the name Wings.
Well, they banned on. Was Wings banned on the run? Were they Wings then?
They were Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney, right.
Oh,
they
became
Wings with Speed of Sound.
Right, with Silly Love Song and
Let 'Em In.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, they were Wings and they were a band.
Venus and Mars that's McCartney's best album, I think.
You know, you can make a case for that one. You can make a case for Band on the Run. There's a couple like Flowers in the Dirt, you can make a case for that. Talking about the solo album. But Wings actually, and I know we had talked about this a few weeks ago, but, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame-wise, you know, there's a band that, you know, do they get in as Wings? You know, were they covered by Paul McCartney's induction as a solo artist, or do they merit getting in on their own? And that's an interesting debate, because they did produce a substantial number of albums, had quite a successful run. It wasn't super long, but it was definitely impactful.
Which album had James Earl Jones on the cover? Was that Band on the Run?
James Coburn?
Yeah. Yep.
James Earl Jones?
Who else was on? How did they get in?
Yeah. Is John Byner on the cover?
They all happened to be in England at the time. They were filming various projects, and whoever the photographer was.
They just happened to be there, so they grabbed them.
Yeah, we don't really, England, especially London's a very small society when it comes to entertainment and the arts, so everybody kind of knows everybody and sees everybody. And they know who's around, so they're able to call them and recruit them to be part of it.
I remember looking
at a cool cover.
And as we mentioned Wings passing, we should also very briefly mention the passing of Charles Neville of the Neville Brothers. He died yesterday at the age of 79 from pancreatic cancer.
All right.
All right, Gary, good run.
There you go.
All right.
We'll talk next week.
Next Friday morning, we'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Gary Graff, our music guy, every Friday morning. You get him around here.